What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
Did you guys do extracurricular activities in college?
Well, I still did theater.
The theater outside of the theater program.
There was only a certain amount that was required, and then everything else was whatever you wanted to do. So, like, yeah, and I had, like, a bunch of internships, and I'd never even applied for credit. I was working for free. Yeah.
I didn't get credit
for any of my internships.
You just forgot? Like, you just
Well, I didn't have an intern requirement, so I just didn't even try to go through those steps to get the
Because you just want to do an internship just to do it.
Yeah.
So I mean, damn, they ain't paying nothing. You ain't getting
no
one, like,
no, I ain't getting nothing. none of those relationships panned out to no, a few of them did. I'm lying. I'm being
but all right, that's good. I mean, I did, all those were part of my department. Like, I did a bunch of internships, but I was in the film video theater department. So I don't know if I did things in college. Does drinking count? Like, if I went to go drink at other schools?
That's not a college extracurricular.
No. But, like, say I went to, like, other schools and be like, yo, I'm about to try to out drink and out party their students. Like, I feel like that was a, you know what I mean? Like, that was a yes. thing. I was like, I was very active in that pursuit.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, super. I'm talking about, like, super active. I'm like, hey, I came to NYU a couple times. Shoot.
Okay.
NYU kids thought they could hang.
And I was like,
come on, baby. I was like, look, y'all trying to go to, was it Bar None? All right. Taking some shots.
Man, I haven't heard
Not
Bar None
today.
In so long.
Just talking about come going on, to a baby. Bar.
I did when I was my freshman year, my communications teacher wanted me to do the speech and debate team, but I did.
Really?
Yeah. I never did debate. I never took philosophy. Is that where what do they like talk about different arguments and stuff like that?
Philosophy. Theology? Or was it philosophy or theology?
Theology is religion.
Philosophy would be like,
I never did any of that, but I wish I had. Like, I feel like, you know, if I wasn't the best, I would have been at least the great debater.
Wow. the delayed S.
And I was like,
I would at least be the great debater.
You know what I mean? Like, if they,
no, we heard it.
They might not have said, John, you're the best there ever was, but they could have said, he's the great debater.
Are you saying the S on the low? Is that what's happening? Are you saying
he's trying to make his sentence make sense, but then he's also trying to make sure that he's correctly transitioning by saying the full title of the film.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So he's the great debater.
If I got on the team, you know, my nickname would have been the great debater.
See, I would have said something like, oh, people listen to our show because we're great debaters.
You could have said anything else, but he
I
didn't.
Feel like this one was
Wait,
easy.
I mean, that's not good, though, because you have to say the, so I don't know what you're talking. I mean,
well, we are the great debaters, but, you know, yeah. still.
I feel like, Ray, this one you should have had this one. Like, this was kind of disappointing.
This one was handed to you. I mean, that's what do we not do, you know, but get together and be the great debaters, you know?
Wow. I mean,
what else do we do?
All I know is that in an alternate universe, if I was on a debate team, my name was the great debater.
Okay, we're done with this. Like, this is done. We're done with this. My name will be the great debater.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
St. Augustine said, an unjust law is no law at all, which means I have a right, even a duty, to resist with violence or civil disobedience. You should pray I choose the latter.
Okay, he didn't change his
That's
voice.
How he said it. He was like, he got all smooth. He was like,
nah, he didn't
pray
do that.
I choose the latter.
That's what was like. I didn't want his voice to change. I was like, yo, this is a hard line. Say it right. And he said it all. 14-year-old, and I was like, all right, this character, it makes sense.
What?
I remember when this movie came out, and like, they did a bunch of like interviews and stuff, I think specifically for Nickelodeon, because he was so young, you know?
Right.
And I remember it so vividly. Denzel Whitaker talking about the audition process for it and just how mad I was that he was in this movie.
What'd he say? What'd he say?
No, just stop. Just, you know, he got to be a little ass kid in this Denzel Washington movie. And yeah. He's so mad.
Wait, isn't he the same kid who played T'Challa? Didn't he play? Wasn't he in Black Panther?
Yeah, he played young. He played young Zuri in.
Got it.
In Black Panther.
Oh.
So he played young. Played young,
but he was an adult by then.
It was 10 years later.
He was the one
or
at the beginning, the one who snitched on
both his
Stone
characters' name are James, which I thought was interesting. It was
that
another connection. It's like Forrest Whitaker, Denzel Whitaker,
right?
James.
Well,
y'all get it.
Before we go any further, I just want people to know that
they don't care.
Educated, this articulate, commanding voice that could lead a great debater team is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm not doing this. I didn't come back to
so
LA to do this.
When you hear that voice, that's who you're listening to.
Oh my God.
And then we got my
co-host. This voice that would probably be the one speaking for the people, giving you the fucking enthusiasm you needed to go out there. And March is Gerard Milligan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this voice is James 3 with an E.
What?
James 3 with an E.
Why?
Where would you ever spell James 3 without an E?
But this is with an E, you know? This is making sure people know. It's one E. That's it.
Oh, why you sound like
wait, 3 has one
Orson Welles radio show?
Yeah, it's... Three with any. James 3 with any. That's my impression of.
Right. Well, we are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors and talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All right. And today we are reviewing the 2007 film, The Great Debaters, based on a true story, directed by Denzel Washington, also starring Denzel Washington. And was this, did this introduce Denzel Whitaker?
No. I think so. I think it was his first movie.
Okay. Well, we have Denzel Whitaker, we have Nate Parker, and Journey Smollett kind of rounding out the debate team. also Journey's as Kimberly Elise.
What do you think she doing right now? Like Journey, you think she like, I don't know, like up reading right the book now? Or like, yeah, like maybe like having a coffee.
I'm not
or
thinking about what like she's friends doing right now, Gerard. Nah.
I mean, who knows? She could be like, I don't
she's
know.
She's living her life. She's existing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Denzel Whitaker so cool was in Training Day. That was his first role. He was a little kid in Training Day.
Okay. Well, then there it is.
All these connections. Bad lieutenant.
All
he's
these Denzel. Denzel.
A lot of television.
Denzel and, you know.
You and then IMDb, I guess he was a voice in a movie called The Ant Bully.
You don't remember The Ant Bully? You said that like that you didn't know that movie existed.
You don't I know, remember, I remember ants.
I never saw The Ant Bully, but it's about, The Ant Bully is about a, we don't need to talk about this, but it's about a bully, a guy that bullies ants who becomes an ant.
Thanks. Oh,
the oh ant wow. Bully. You know, that's a turn got of it events. You how know, you're not expecting that. You know, oh, wow. I don't even know. Something city crazy happened, some kind of magic.
Mad
but you
scientist
know, he turned into an ant. Shoot.
Got it. And then he helps defend the ants.
Yep, that's right. Then he gets, see, because you know what happens. He gets close to the ants. Then
know,
he becomes.
I know how to create a film. okay. So well, wow, this movie has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, 86% audience score. It's pretty good. Not bad. Box office, the budget was $15 million. And it made $30 million.
Man.
Yeah.
You know what? It needed a little bit more of Journey Smollett. Like, if it had been more, it would have got like 35. You know what I'm saying? Like, if she would have just like, they put her on the, is she on the
so
cover? Is she on the cover of the box?
No.
Nah, it ain't the, she ain't on the cover. It's the back of this other nigga's head. Mm-mm, thank you, man.
Well, yeah. Mm-mm. Forrest Whitaker was kind of the lead, I think, of the kids. This movie didn't come out internationally. It just came out domestically. It made $30 million. It came out on Christmas.
Wait, what? MGM didn't put this out internationally?
No.
It's all the black people.
Yeah, it's black history. You know?
What's fuck it? Let me not do this. Let me not. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this.
I'm going to start this one today.
No, I'm not going to do this. I'm calm. I'm not doing this today.
There
I
was.
Know, I just feel like thing maybe that's what we should do because isn't that the point of this?
It don't make sense. Why do I gotta watch movies about white history that go international, even to China, but I can't get black history when white people do trash things overseas?
Because white history, see, because like white people, because what happened was white people went everywhere and tried to like live everywhere. So when you put a white movie, and they're like, oh, I know what this, I've seen, because white people, they tried to probably take over us at some point or another. So I know them, you know, but then, but black people, they, we be chilling, you know, and so like people aren't as accustomed to us. So we don't, you don't put the movie out there because we wasn't out there trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah. Y'all get what I'm saying? Yeah. That's my theory.
I forgot what we were talking about. Oh, right. The Great Debaters. Okay, so. shall we start? I said this is based on a true story. Apparently, it is fictionalized in a lot of ways.
Damn.
Oh, is it? I want to.
I enjoyed it so much. Okay, hold on. Wait, let me see what the difference
but,
is.
Yeah. Well, let's.
Is that on Wikipedia or something?
Before we talk about that, let's say what our initial thoughts were about the movie right as it presented
well
itself.
This was my first time seeing this movie. I want to say all the way through, but maybe ever. And I liked it a lot. And I, of course, hoped that everything that I was looking at was true. Was hoping that everything he was seeing was real. So I'm interested to see what the differences are. Thought the acting was really good. I know Nate Parker is a problematic individual, for, you know, comments he's made in the past and also because of his, rape allegations. But his acting is really good. So that is, you know, it's tough when you see somebody and they be acting real good. You're like, oh, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this person. Denzel did a great job directing the movie. I thought his character was really good. That's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I liked it. Journey's fantastic. Everybody's
she's great. Probably drinking hot chocolate. I feel like she's.
Why are you trying to figure out what?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's hot chocolate. Bit. Yeah, I honestly forgot if I saw this movie or not. There was part of me that was like, this feels familiar. And then there was another part of me that was like, I don't remember this movie. But I think I did. I feel like I did. That said, yeah, it's a very enjoyable kind of movie in this realm. I thought the acting was great. I thought Nate Parker and Journey were like really charismatic, and I liked the little kind of romance dance between them. Obviously, Denzel and Forest Whitaker are always going to be great, and Kimberly Elise is always going to be great.
Kimberly Elise, goodness.
Yeah. And Denzel Whitaker is good too. I think like Jarrell, like kind of briefly mentioned this, but like the end, you know, debate, like it was like good, but it didn't hit you there, just because like that kid doesn't have that kind of commanding, I don't know, thing that you would think of when you would think of like a really cinematic like argument, you know, on screen. And like he's kind of like saying the right things, and like he's true to the character that was throughout the movie, but it didn't really have like that rousing moment at the end, so that was a little underwhelming for me. But and it's probably, I watched this movie in two parts, so that was easier, but it's probably a little long, but again, we say that for all movies. But no, it was it was definitely enjoyable. It was definitely, I was like, oh, okay, you know. Yeah, it's, I don't think this movie got any real recognition from awards, right? Even though it definitely came out like award season. Like this movie came out Christmas.
Yeah, it came out December 11th.
Yeah. So
damn.
So it was definitely shooting for that. An enjoyable movie.
Yeah, man, I actually liked it. I don't think I ever saw it. I think this isn't the kind of movie I normally watch, black people dealing with old white folk racism. But I thought it was good. Every time I see Nate Parker, I'm like, damn, this brother was next. It's like every time I see him, I'm like, he was the dude. Like he was T'Challa. You know what I'm saying? I love that we got Chadwick, but I'm like, this dude was the next guy. And thinking that this movie, like all his movies were black people trying to overcome something. Like even looking at Journey in this movie, I was like, there's a scene with her, with all of them in the car. And I'm like, this poor woman, I hope she has the best fucking time on Birds of Prey. Cause I'm like, this woman's career that made her famous has always been some slave or like some, like, I gotta run from white people shit. Like it was like this movie, Underground. Then it was like a scene that reminded me of a scene from Lovecraft Country. I was like, this woman deserves a goddamn comedy or a love story or something. It's funny, I did enjoy this movie, but like, man, this movie made people mad. There's a review of this movie I gotta read because I think it's hilarious. While a well-made film, the biggest disheartening issue, however, is that it portrays almost all the blacks as intelligent academics and almost all the whites as arrogant rednecks. And I was like, so
that isn't,
wait,
first of all, that isn't even
true. Let me keep going.
The white Harvard debaters are arrogant, stuffy, narrow-minded, unenlightened intellectuals. They have no good white guys and no horrible black characters.
Even the black butler at Harvard is exceptional, having correctly pronounced Latin words and inspirational phrases. I was looking up like fact versus fiction stuff, and there's this movie site.
There's
a movie site called Crosswalk, and this woman, presumably a white woman, is like, this movie, there's no happy white person. And the thing I like about this movie is that they didn't add in a magical
Now this is the greatest movie ever made.
Because you think about it, like, this is what
it costs somebody to write this.
It mad because there's no, and this is, and that kind of review brings up why I personally hate some of these other movies that white people love, because it's a fictional white person that comes in and saves the day, or comes in and knocks down the color only sign, or comes in and say, hey, little black boy, you can do it too. And all of a sudden that gives the nigga courage to like run up a goddamn mountain.
Well,
So
considering how fictionalized this is, you know, they could have added in a white person.
They could have.
I don't know. Maybe this movie is terrible.
Unless Harvard itself is the magical white person. Because Harvard randomly called at the end and was like, hey, come to bait. Is Harvard itself the magical white? But I really like this movie. And I was going to say I like it because they didn't add a magical white person. And the fact that this white lady is so mad about it makes me laugh in tremendous ways. But yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, this is a random freaking website, but
it was, I thought it was going to give me like, these are the real things. These are the fake things of the movie. And I'm like, oh no. Also, wait, I also love Jermaine Williams, who low key is in so many movies. Like, where is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's so good in so many things, yo. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently, like, three of the four debaters are like amalgamations of people. It's like kind of fictionalized. I don't know. This thing just said that there wasn't a real person named Lynch. It's so hard though, because some of these websites I'm reading from, I'm like, I don't know if I trust you.
Exactly. I can't find a real one.
It's like, also, I'm trying to look for like a.
We fictionalize everything. Okay. Barnum is a fucking terrible human, and he has one of the best biopics of all time. I don't care what. You know what? You know what? They should have said one of these niggas made the fucking spaceship and went to the moon. I'd have been like, great.
I don't think
we debated our way to the moon. We debated our way to the moon.
I don't want movies based on it. First of all, can I just say this? Because wait, what was the other movie we had where they had like fake end credit things where they're telling us like facts about these fake people?
What do you call it?
I can picture it right now.
It was the No Sudden Move.
Yeah, it was the one about the.
Well, they just had things at the end, but it was like,
these are what happened to these people. Yeah. I don't understand why movies do this. Like, why do they say, like, why are they like, oh, here's a person who, like, we're telling you this is based on a real story, and then this is a fictional person, and then we're going to tell you what this fictional person did in the future. Like, of course audiences are going to walk away thinking that that's real. Like, it's not. I don't know. That's
because sometimes most of those people have like a really tough life. Like, I was reading on why did I go down this hole? It was like on what happened to actual character, like real life people. And I read one on the guy from 12 Years a Slave, and his life, he vanished like 3 years later. Like, he got reunited with his family and then just was gone. Like, no one knows what happened. I don't know if he got taken back to slavery, like, gone. I think maybe 4 years. I'm like, yeah, man. They tell these stories to make people feel good.
Right. So one of the biggest things is they didn't debate Harvard. They debated the University of Southern California. That was the reigning champions, and that's who they faced, and they never faced Harvard. So they just like added that because like people know Harvard and it's like Harvard, you know?
Yeah, I would have done that same thing. That makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Man, they need to lead this movie. There's so many movies. Yo, what is it? Hidden Figures had Taraji running a mile in heels to Pharrell music.
Okay.
And the woman who is still alive.
Catherine Johnson was just like,
the thing to talk about.
No,
of the movie.
And the thing is her.
Nobody's thinking that she actually ran.
We were like, why is she running to the bathroom to Happy? Okay, it don't make sense. All right. That black woman.
Okay,
who's
that
still
has
alive,
such a different thing than what we're talking about.
I went to the bathroom right there. They told me I couldn't go. I went to that bathroom. That's what that black woman said. I ain't run down that motherfucking no heels multiple times to Happy. Okay, the Minions danced to Happy.
Wait a minute. So you're saying she was upset about Happy as well?
Everybody was upset.
She acknowledged that Pharrell's score did not match.
And if you're gonna have her run, if you're gonna have her fucking running to the bathroom, play some goddamn, I don't know, Chaka Khan. some Tina Turner, some powerful shit.
Why are you doing this to Pharrell though? Pharrell is a trailblazer.
I love Pharrell. But Pharrell shouldn't have been making the beat to this woman running to the bathroom in stress. Right. He knows.
So hold on. So why wasn't Samantha Book with an E just Henrietta Bell Wells? This person who the wiki, when you click on Samantha Book, it just takes you to this other woman's Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, because she wasn't a real person. Samantha Book is a fictional person.
But there's, it looks like looking at this debate team picture, there was only one woman on this team.
Right, so, Henrietta Bell.
Why did you change your name?
Well, well, one, black woman erasure. No, I don't know, man. Because it doesn't make
sense. This woman has mad accolades.
She didn't become a lawyer. She became a social worker. And
she
maybe
went to law school.
She probably didn't have this, you know, romantic relationship. And they were like, well, instead of like pretending like this real person had this romantic relationship, we'll have a fake person have a romantic relationship.
Oh my God. Wow. She beat Tuskegee. She beat Howard. She beat. Oh, she told Denzel. Was it? Apparently she talked to Denzel. She told Denzel to play. All right. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't use her real name.
Wait, you just said all that. You mumbled
all
that.
The character, you know, is played by Journey Smollett. Lucy, based on her, Will stated that she told Denzel, who directed the film, he should play the team's coach, Melvin B. Johnson.
Yeah, but that doesn't connect to why.
I don't know why her name is different. Like, I haven't.
All right. Well, I'm upset. So, all right, cool. Great.
All right. Well, okay. So this movie starts in the South, but they're in Texas. And it's like a, I don't know what you call this, a hoedown, a shindig. What's it?
A party. You're having a romp.
Oh, a party. Okay, yeah. I feel like there's a name for it.
A hoedown, a shindig,
a blues.
Well, they at the club getting it in is what they're doing.
Nate Park
and
is getting
it's
in.
intercut with a sermon
from Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker is delivering,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of,
and also Journey Smollett on a train.
Oh yeah, seeing the poverty going from north to south.
She's on the train.
Is it bad every time I hear the name Forrest Whitaker, I think of that Bernie Mac bit? It's like, I hate black pepper. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck. I just, that's all. Literally, when someone says his name, I just think of Bernie Mac from what is it? Don't be a menace while drinking your juice in the hood. But he's that racist black cop. I hate my skin. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, this was fun. Also, my man is out here, Nate Parker, out here fighting. First off, this dude got set up. He flirting with this woman. And then he's like, who's that? Just my husband.
Oh, that's just my husband.
Are they swingers? And I was like, oh no, she trying to kill this dude.
Nah, he about to kill him.
Are they swingers?
Because she said it so casually.
In
just
the 1930s.
Husband.
Yeah, no.
I was like, all right. Clearly, she's not stressed.
I know, that was funny.
Oh, maybe that's her thing. She gets hit on, and then her husband has to come in and save her. And then she's like, oh, thank you, babe. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's the
she
vibe.
Was rooting for her husband during the fight.
Yeah, I was like,
even
not
though her
it.
Husband pulled a knife on a man.
Like, what? But he was giving him the work, though. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Denzel was there dressed in.
Hold on.
He was in costume.
Sharecropper clothes. Sharecropper clothes.
I will say, I did like that this movie took place during the Great Depression for black people. So it was during the sharecropper era.
I mean, it seems like James Farmer's story is pretty accurate.
Yeah, he's the real person.
Which one is that, James Farmer?
He's the Forrest. Denzel Whitaker.
Gotcha.
And I guess
his
dad also had all of those. He was also, all of those accolades were real as well for him.
Wow. Well, he just passed away in 1999.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about, as I'm looking through all these Wikipedias, all these people, we shared air. We shared air with these people.
Well, that's the hard part. I'm thinking about this, and like, this is what, 1933? My mom was born in 1940, 1945, something like that. And I'm like, yo, this isn't, like, every time I feel like we talk about some of these movies, it's like, these people, there's literally, there's a scene when we get down later in the movie and there's a little boy watching the lynching. And I'm like, that little boy is like 70 now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that little boy is still alive and remembers it. And now he got grandkids. Mm-hmm. Bet you need to tell him. He's either telling grandkids he was at that lynching or he's like, I'm carrying this to my grave because I grew up racist. But yeah, this shit ain't that crazy, man.
I thought they did a pretty good job of showing that, like showing the kids like smiling, the white kids smiling when, you know, when they hit the pig. And it's just like, you just sort of look at what's being passed on and how, you know, it was really, it was unnerving, but also like, I thought it was handled very well. I thought in general, I mean, I know we'll get into things as we get into them more specifically, but I did think in general, the way that this sort of balanced the oppression of the day and then also just the general struggles of these characters trying to do this debate, I thought that was well balanced in a way that, I don't know, it was impactful to me. It didn't feel like it was torture porn. And it also didn't feel like they were like, we're going to shy away from this.
Yeah.
It was very present throughout mm-hmm. the whole movie. And also like the movie was about something else, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was a really nice balance. And it was like, yeah, it's like, we can't pretend like this isn't happening. We have to show it, but also we're not gonna like, even the lynched body, lynched bird mm-hmm. body. But like, even that, like there wasn't like a reveling in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's like that quick cut to that guy who got beat up, or, you know, like tortured by the cops. So that we know, you know, this is what's happening.
But this is the thing, guys. Like, I think you guys probably saw it on Twitter this week. I don't know why people keep talking about it, but from Denzel from the movie Fences, everyone keeps playing his interview about like why it was important he directed Fences, and he brought up the analogy of like, you know, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, like Martin could have directed Schindler's List, Steven could have directed like Goodfellas, but he's like, it's the culture of it all. Like if I compare, like right now I got this film, The Great Debaters. I have the worst movie ever made, Up, Green Book. I also have Hidden Figures up. And when you look at those three directors, two Caucasian men who probably have a very limited amount of black friends, because I can tell by their movies, did these historical movies on black people, but felt the need to not villainize a white person. Whereas if you lived in the 1930s South, you're like, hey man, even these people who are leaving me alone can still harass me. Shit, in 2021, we still get harassed by well-to-do white folk. You know what I'm saying? And it's that nuance where it's like, in one of those hands, they even would skip right over the horrors that white people truly do and some of the things they truly say beyond just face value, or they would have like reveled in it and just had us sitting there looking at like torture porn the whole goddamn time. So I think what Denzel did was something that is like very genuine. Denzel is an older black man whose parents probably lived through this, who he probably experienced shit in Mount Vernon. And it's like, yo, we can show this and show literally it was the fear, like watching, them hit the pig, but then seeing not the face of Forrest Whitaker, but of the kids, that is real fear. Because like you're looking at this grown, educated black man talk to these fucking stupid, literally stupid hillbillies and be forced to be called boy and help them pick up a goddamn hog in an expensive suit where these little assholes can't do shit. Yeah. And it's like, that shit happens. I saw my stepfather. I saw him go from being like a well-to-do black dude to being terrified when white cops showed up. And it's like, this nigga is stupid. I remember thinking out loud, this cop is a fucking idiot. And that's not saying, I was like, and now we're sitting here terrified of him because he has more power, not only because of his badge, but because we in the South and he white. That's mm-hmm. just goddamn shame, man.
Yeah.
Fucking shame. And you notice he ain't playing no goddamn poppy music in this fucking movie. ain't nobody getting taught how to eat fried chicken in this movie. I ain't even seen nobody eat in this movie. Did y'all? Okay, the mind was being fed. Okay,
all right. Went on a
tirade. I hate those movies. I think people need to really understand. And the thing that pisses me off even more about those movies is this movie to me is better than those movies, but got so far less accolades than those movies. And I need to know why.
I agree that this movie is better than both of those movies. Like, it just is better. And I can't remember what else was coming out at those times or whatever, you know. But it's definitely just like, it has to just be racism, right?
And
like,
the reason is exactly what, you know, our friend Lisa Rice said. And that's that the white people are all bad and the black people are all good. And it's like, come on, like, have some nuance. It's truly that. No, it truly is the fact that there is no white savior in this movie. There's no like good white person to like.
What's so white funny dude is, at Harvard that helped them with the bags?
Funny is like, yes, they had people who weren't like inherently just racist jerks, right? Like they were just a part of the society. So like, yeah, you have the white dude at Harvard who helps them with the bags. He's not helping them at all, really. He's just doing his job, right? He's in more of like a servile position. And then there's also the white dude who's helping Tolson's character, Tolson in the with the organization of the farmers and the union or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like the person who's a sidekick or whatever. He's in one scene, he says one thing, he gets shut up. You know, it's clear that Denzel Washington has more power than him. And because of that, like this person is like, yeah, there's no good white people. It's like, no, there were white people who were all right. There were white people who weren't bad. They just weren't the heroes.
Also, they're the ones doing what you probably do in your everyday life, which is being pleasant between fucking on a limb helping no black folk out.
Well,
my thing. Everybody today want to prove they ain't racist. And I'm like, but what are you doing, though? It's like, but seriously, it's like I got mad producer friends. Like, we got a couple. Oh, man, we have an initiative to help people of color. It's like, cool. What does your initiative do? Because this person you got in part of this initiative probably deserves your job. But like, that's what are we saying? Like, what are you doing? Like, everybody wants to feel like they're doing something big. At least with that bullshit movie, The Green Book, at least we know they ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? At least we know this movie is complete full of shit. It's like, there's no way no white dude's about to be
full of shit.
I know. Mahershala knew when he won that Oscar. That nigga was up there in a beanie. Like,
yeah, I know, hey, but man. A lot of people didn't know.
That
I've never had fried chicken in my life. Do I eat? How?
Yo, what's so crazy? I looked up what this film was nominated for, and it was nominated by the Golden Globes for Best Picture Drama, but that's it. Like, there is no other Golden Globe nomination. Obviously, didn't win. And I'm just like, how are you going to nominate something for Best Picture and then not nominate anything else? And then the Academy didn't nominate it for anything.
Because, man, Brent, you're right. It doesn't do what this lady is expecting. And I'm looking at these movies. Kevin Costner's in one. You know what I'm saying? Viggo Mortensen's in the other one. It's like there's someone to latch on to in these other movies where it's like, in this one,
hold on.
There's not.
There are plenty of people to latch on to in this movie. So white people need to see white people doing good in order to watch a movie. I'm about to get upset.
There was
15 people for me to latch on to when I watched this movie. You know when I watch The Imitation Game, it's also 15 people for me to latch on to when I watch that movie. It, just because it's white people on the screen doesn't mean I'm not latching on to them. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm sorry I yelled.
I didn't want to. You know what? Let's be positive. Because this movie is a
great
movie.
The people listening to this podcast ain't the people I'm yelling at. So I'm sorry. No. I yelled at y'all's ears.
I took us down this road. My bad. I just wanted to make sure people understood that this movie is superior to those other movies. And those other movies have more credit. And I think it's because of the whiteness of those movies. But let's talk about how great this movie is. Because this movie is awesome.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
It, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn,
the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies. Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Yeah, I mean, so they have a couple of threads going, basically. So you have Denzel Whitaker's character. What was it? James?
Which one?
James. Denzel is, they're both James. Denzel James Whitaker James. And yeah, they're both James.
Senior Farmer, right. They're James Farmer Jr. And he's, you know, his dad is a pastor. He's 14. He's in this college. He's
smart as hell.
Only 14 years old. He wants to join the debate team. Essentially, we get several different scenes with him and his father, because his father's kind of like a little bit overbearing. You know, it's one of the reasons he's probably so smart. I mean, so educated, I should say, not smart, but it's one of the reasons he's like accomplished so much is because his father's pushed him. But he also is a 14-year-old boy, and he likes, you know, he likes girls.
Yeah, man, he got a little crush. He had a little crush on Journey. He probably saw her and was like, man, she drinks hot chocolate. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you doing this?
I think they mentioned
hot chocolate in this film. Go
ahead. I'll tell you what's so funny about Journey Smollett, though. It's like, I literally, for some reason, was like Googling her, and I forgot that she's been on, we probably talked about it, but her and her siblings had that show when they were kids, and they all, like, it was like her, Jesse, a couple other Smollett kids, and they all played like six or eight siblings on some like sitcom way back when. So to see her go from that to like Roll Bounce, where she was like the best friend who wasn't attractive, right, then like became super pretty out of nowhere, then to this. And then like even thinking about her as Letty, I was like, man, Journey Smollett has had an interesting career. She's always been a good actor, but also one, East Bayou, but also one who hasn't had to lose any sexuality at the same time. Like, I feel like sometimes it's like, if you watch these movies, it's like either sexuality is like fully on display, or it's like, I got to remove it all, put on a fake nose and like shave half my head. And that's how the person gets to acting. A beautiful woman gets acting credit. Whereas like, she's been able to like really just be dope, but also like a beautiful woman at the same time. I love her. And you know what?
But she's also not, just to be clear, you said you've been wondering, you know, this whole podcast, like whether or not she's currently drinking hot chocolate. But then you also said for some reason you were Googling her.
No, I'm just wondering, like, you know, like, do you, like, yeah, man, what does she probably read? You know, like, she probably reads some dope books, maybe even comics. I think she might read some comics.
All right. Too.
She, I mean, probably has to at the very least. Yeah, to understand what's going on with
her character.
Her character. Wait, so she just transferred. Where was she coming from?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember. Let's see, historically, where did she transfer from?
Historically, you're talking about Henrietta?
There. Yeah, she just started there.
She just started there. She was a freshman.
Yeah, she just started.
She joined the debate team as a freshman, the real
person. This movie could have been about
insane. She also apparently had to work jobs. Like, she had a scholarship, but she still had to like work jobs and would do extra shifts, and they'd have to like cover for her or like all this stuff. I don't know. I'm reading the real stories, and you're like, it's always more impressive than the movie, and you're like, what? Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? Why do you make these characters less impressive?
It would be unbelievable if we saw it. Nobody would, you know, no one would believe that someone could do that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's also interesting. Like, I mean, even thinking about this movie, when she gets there and she goes to the team, they start pretty quickly with Denzel, like, with the tryouts. It's, what is it? 300 people down to 4 people or something like that. Or no, it's 300 students, 40 apply, and then 4 make it or something. I love that she was there, and I don't know, maybe because I'm a guy. Oh man, am I Lisa Rice right now? Oh shit, I'm just about to
what
say
about
I
to
like
say?
I was about to say I like that, like, she's there, and no one is like, women can't be here. Like, everyone acknowledges that, you know, hey, women, we haven't had a woman do this, but no one's like, man, why is she in here? And I'm like, is the feeling I'm feeling as a man with this white lady's feeling, because there's no happy white person, no helpful white. I'm like, the men weren't offensive to her.
Because you're glad that the men weren't. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly adjacent to that, if not.
According to Henrietta Bell Wells, the real debater. Well, actually, I mean, she just says that the boys didn't seem to mind me. She didn't really talk much in this interview about like the hard. I'm sure that obviously there were hardships, but I don't know if there were hardships within the team necessarily. It seems like they were pretty united.
Even when Denzel Whitaker brings up to Forrest that there's a girl on the team. I thought that he was going to be like, oh, a woman. But then he was like, hey, man, don't get distracted. Like, that was what he was upset about, was like potentially the distraction of the romantic distraction. And it's still there, though, right? Like, at the end, when they debate Harvard, it's a woman and a 14-year-old boy, and they're both black. It was just like, there was so many things. It's like, you still feel that like they must be looking at them a certain way because of that reason.
Right. Is that
but
why,
they but they do not acknowledge it? And I don't know. I don't know. I thought it's still present, even if they don't like make a meal out of it.
Is that why Nate Parker didn't do, like, why? I was confused on why he didn't. Did he think because it would be a 14-year-old boy and a black woman, they would fare better than him. I was confused on like why he didn't do it.
He did say that. He did say that they'll love it. You're 14. They'll love it. They'll eat you up. But I do think that there was also some element. It felt like there was some element of him feeling like there was weakness in him, in himself, that he was like, Farmer Jr. will, he can rise up to this occasion and be, and be this sort of shining light that that, you know, the people writing this know James Farmer Jr. to go on to become, you know, it felt like it was like that. There was, you know, because it came right after he left yet again and was about to maybe cheat yet again, you know, and he was, I just felt like that was him sort of acknowledging a weakness in himself.
All right.
That's what I thought.
All right. Okay. Okay. Cause I was curious. But yeah, this movie I thought was cool, man. Like they started off the debate team. I did love Denzel telling the guy who quit to like use his humor in it. What is his name? What is the character's name? Jermaine Williams, Hamilton Burgess. He was like, yo, use the humor. Don't like, would you shoot yourself in the foot in a fight?
Right. He was saying like, don't be self-deprecating.
I was like, I like this, man. I don't know. I keep thinking, do debate teams, have you guys ever watched a debate match in real life?
I've never watched a debate match, but I have listened to, I did listen to a podcast that had the debate. It was like by NPR, and it was like a debate. It wasn't college. It was like adults, but they would like have a debate and argue. They didn't say resolve, but they argued like, you know, the affirmative and the negative of like certain, you know, stances, and, you know, go back and forth, and it was two people on each team, so very similar. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because it's like, it's a very rigid structure, which you need to have, you know, but there's also like, there's limitations to it, just like anything, I guess. But it is interesting hearing people like bring up quotes and facts. And this was very, all of their debates, a lot of their debates seemed very philosophical in nature. And they weren't, there wasn't a lot of like fact-based evidence as much as there just was like quoting people who it's assumed that we all respect, and therefore like those people's quotes have weight, you know?
Yeah. I thought that was odd considering what the audition process was like. Like considering like he kept on Journey for Samantha for like what her quotes were and what her facts were, you know. But then almost every debate was like, you know, is it okay for someone to do, you know, like it's like all moral and ethical questions.
All emotion based. Like everything became emotion based. I mean, I did like it. I liked when they, you know, started doing that montage running and being like what 10-0 or something crazy like that. Also, it was so interesting. I thought they were going to be, they kept building like it was going to be like crazy tension between Denzel and Nate Parker's character that I felt like never really came, which I did like. Because after the first match, when Nate Parker just did his own thing and quoted Journey, I was like, oh, Denzel's going to be pissed even though they won. He's like, I wrote the stuff. You can't do it. And no, we never even saw another scene of them talking about it. It was just a montage of them winning. I was like, oh, okay. That's interesting. Because I like that Denzel wasn't overbearing. I feel like we always see these movies and you have, of course, like a, you know, Forrest Whitaker character was like the black dad who's like, my way or the highway, you know. And like Denzel seemed a little bit more loose where he definitely wasn't explaining himself, but he also understood that fire in all the kids, which I thought was very, I thought it was very beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
Fire. The burning, 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 burning fire. And what was he doing? He was organizing. Like, what was Denzel doing on the low? He was
He was forming a union.
Farmers union.
A union of farmers.
An interracial farmers union, which I think is a real thing, right? That he was that a real thing that Melvin Tolson did?
Let me see. Or I have it up.
I have him up right now, and I'm trying to find it specifically.
You're right.
I mean, he has a long career of all kinds of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if that's on here, but I don't.
Actually, maybe
I don't see it, but it does say that his political view, he was about integrating, and that was, was a source of, you know, tension, but it doesn't say that at least as far as my scrolling, doesn't say that he actually formed a union.
Wow. Yeah.
Apparently he was an activist, so it was like a slightly imagined, but like based off of his real kind of ideas of what he wanted to do.
Yo, they won in real life 75.
Okay, yeah, in 47. So this is after the fact.
Long
in 47,
after, right?
He was accused of having been active in organizing farm laborers. He was accused of doing it during the late 1930s. But it doesn't say a specific group that he formed.
It doesn't seem like he actually got arrested and like couldn't come to a debate
I don't see any evidence of him being blacklisted or anything like that either. But
right.
But this is Wikipedia. So this is a Wikipedia article.
Yeah.
Also,
the blacklisted I was like, isn't that a little early for I guess people were always being blacklisted, but I was like, that term felt a little
new.
I was like, I feel like that's a 50s term, but anyway.
Wow, 50s. I was about to say. I was just looking up the team, and it's like, yeah, man, 75 straight debates they won over.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well,
the other only weird fact is that they didn't. Even though they beat USC, who were the reigning champions, they didn't get to claim the title because black people were not technically a part of the collegiate debate circle. So even it was like an unofficial debate. All the debates against the white schools were unofficial.
Man. Also, I don't know why this movie. I do know why. I don't know why I'm saying that. There is such a pride in seeing historically black colleges and just like what it's so easy to think about, you know, Howard being the black Ivy League, you know, and, you know, thinking about, you know, Tuskegee and all these places, but it's like, man, these black schools had to do so, to get the funding and to get the type of student and accreditation that they needed. Like, to do this back in what, the 1930s, 1900s, like these black people were so, so genius and so fucking driven. Cause I'm like, even in this movie, they're like, oh man, we can knock Howard off. It's like Howard is one of the best schools, period. But also to think that Howard was established at a time where like they really weren't trying to let black people learn. And they were like, fuck it, we'll just do it ourselves. And that became one of the highest institutions in the nation, yo. Man, God bless black people. Like I'm now looking on Wiley and Tuskegee's college
I know.
Pages.
Well, that's the one thing. The other thing I really love about this movie is that it's like highlighting, it's doing what white people get to do with movies all the time, which is like highlight like little known historical figures who did something that's pretty impressive, but we're not like learning all the time. And it's like, hey, like it's like a debate team that like did really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
That's so cool, you know, and even more impressive considering all the obstacles. But we never learn about this stuff. You know, we always are learning the same kind of history. And then that's why it is a little bit disappointing that even in this movie, even though like Wiley College is real and Tolson is real, like we're still like, it's still like fake people. It's like, no, like let us please learn about these the real people, you know, like at least, you know, James Farmer Jr. is real, but like, I don't know, like I do love that this, that, you know, Denzel and Oprah, because I think Harpo Productions was involved with this, like, they were like, let's make a movie about, you know, people that are black people that were impressive, that aren't necessarily, that aren't the like civil rights activists or like these huge historical figures. Like, just like, let's make about like exceptional black people who people don't know, other people don't know about, you know?
And you know what? We should keep making the movies, even though there was something about this movie. And I think James brings this up often. Like, I put a lot of weight in like awards and act like the Oscars, which are, you know, normally to boast up other white people. And like seeing this movie and Denzel to a fault almost felt like he would like when he was hyped that they got to debate. I forgot whatever the first white school was. And Nate Parker,
University of Michigan, I think.
Michigan. Yeah. And Nate Parker's character goes, oh, we just happy for scraps off the table. And I'm like, it does feel like we're always, not always, at least for myself, always trying to get the approval of like high-end white society instead of just like my own people. Where it's like, I need the Oscar, the Golden Globe to be proof of this being good versus like, man, if a bunch, like, I even think about Tyler Perry, like black people support that dude enough that dude is rich. You know what I mean? Like Will Packer, black people support him enough where that man is a rich man. You know, like he may not be going to the governor's ball, but like he's a millionaire because of us. And there's something about that where I'm like, oh, that is one thing I want to take away from this movie. Is like, you may get into a hole trying to get white people's approval. And it's also like, for what? Like, for what? So I don't know. That was one cool thing. It's like, yeah, man, you're always arguing for scraps, but it's like, I don't want your scraps. I can go back and make my own shit. It's like, literally, I'm like looking at these schools. It's like, it's literally black people who are like, all right, cool. We don't need to go to your school. At one point, they like, what was it? When they bring up W.E.B. Du Bois, who my grandfather always talked about.
That was really great.
Is a very important black figure, but also he's a very important black figure educated in a very white world. And also, where's his movie? Like the dichotomy between like the two sides of him. Like he is the code switcher. You know what I mean? Like, where's his movie? Bray, you could be W.E.B. Du Bois. You got,
I'm sure
there's
a
face.
TV movie. Wait, remember when no, I don't, I have no idea. No,
did you just say Booker T. Washington? Was a TV movie, because the fact that there's likely a TV movie is high. The fact that, you know, some you know, the History Channel made a WB.
Wow, there's well, no right, movie right? of him. No. There's no movie portraying.
No, there's a documentary about him. Not
wow,
not a narrative film.
All right, well, I mean, let's do it. Wow, we might as well do it. We got WEB.
Yeah, bring it, be W.E.B. Du Bois for real. Give me a chance to shave his curly head.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, look, it is this thing of like, well, we do live in a white dominated society, both in terms of population, but also obviously power. I mean, that's slowly changing demographically, but so it's like you can't fully segregate. Anyway, this is what I'm writing a pilot about. but like you also don't want to be fully codependent on, you know, the powers that be giving you, you know, what you need. So it's a fine line, but I mean, like, I like that was brought up, and then also that Nate Parker stuck on the debate team, you know, and it was like, and went to those debates, you know what I mean? Like, that was cool. Yeah.
Also, I learned, did you guys know where the term lynching came from before this movie?
I had never heard.
No, but I also was reading one of these websites, and they said that was a fake fact.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't Lisa. It wasn't Lisa, was it? I don't know if I trust Lisa.
But I also wonder if that's one of those things where it's like,
right, I don't trust Lisa either.
Is that something that people have been saying, you know, and there is no, it's like we can't trace it back to any one thing in particular.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, William Lynch.
There is something he said, Denzel said early on about not having a birth certificate so he can lie about his age whenever he wants. And I'm like, that's so real, because at the same time as this character, like, my grandmother didn't have a birth certificate. And so, like my she had three kids, and all three kids say a different age, and her sisters say a different age. I'm like, yo, how America treated black folk, man. I know, like, we're only, I will say this, like, we're still living through stuff, but, like, we're only one generation of when it was hell on earth officially. You know what I mean? When it was just, my God.
I mean, on Wikipedia, two Americans during this era are generally credited for coining the phrase, Charles Lynch and William Lynch, both of whom lived in Virginia. Again, this is Wikipedia, but that's how the etymology of the word Lynch starts. And it's from these two dudes. Couple white dudes named Lynch. So,
right. Wow. Yeah, it seems like it's not like it's a disputed fact, but probably, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it feels like it's one of those things where it's like,
yeah,
it's not true.
right.
Wait, is this real? Is lynching still not considered?
Wait, don't do this.
No, it's 2020. No. Are you telling me as early as late, or whatever you want to call it, as a year or two ago, they tried to pass a bill to make lynching a hate crime? And
yes, and we Republicans have talked about this on this podcast before.
We have? Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Because it was like, well, what does that mean? Is the, you know, they said no, but like the reason is like, well, lynching is a crime because it's murder, like mob rules, like it's already criminalized and this is like a political thing. And then, but people are like, well, no, like we need an actual law. It's a thing.
Let me get
anyway, let's have
page.
A debate about it. Resolve.
No, absolutely not.
When she smacks him.
Yo, she straight up slapped him.
That was great.
And Ezra goes, resolve.
Okay. Resolve.
The funniest part of the movie to me, or my favorite part of the movie, is when they're at Harvard and they're like, you know, they're dealing with this black butler type role. I'm not sure specifically what it, porter or whatever his role was, would have been, but he they're like trying to figure out the Latin of something, and then some he word. Like says the word and what the meaning is, and then walks away, and then Journey just goes, I told you.
that was
so funny. The fact that she was just like, at some point was like, he's probably the smartest person on this campus. That was so funny to me.
But there's also so much to that. It's like this porter is here. You would think so lowly of him, but like, he's probably one of the smartest people ever, but like, this is what his job has to be. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And that goes back to that culture thing that Denzel was obviously talking about, but that you mentioned earlier, Gerard, because it's like the way they interact with him, because it's like, they're not like that poor man or whatever, you know, you know, and like Nate starts to give him a tip, but then when he can't, but then still makes fun of him once he closes the door. There's just so many layers to how they interact with him. And then for him to just be like super smart, and that knowing this fact, and then have her be like, I told you, there's just so much. That's the tip of a very big iceberg that like we're getting a little glimpse of. I thought that series of scenes was so fun. And then he's there in the audience watching. I loved that.
Yeah, man, I you know what it is? I really liked that these were educated black people, man. I liked it. Like, as much as the world around them were trying to bring them down, it was like they all had an inner demon. Like, you know, Denzel was trying to do the most. Like, Nate Parker clearly was that rebel. And then I do like that Journey and James Jr. both were kind of dealing with the same issue to me, which was like almost like that courage and that like self-worth kind of thing. And I thought that was cool. Even at the end, only thing is this. Okay, this is the magical blackness of the movie, which I do like. And I was like, at first, this is where I kind of like pause the movie. But it's like when Denzel gets arrested and they won't let them back. I was like, man, they back there beating the shit out of Denzel, man. God damn it. Like, and then all of a sudden he comes out and he's fine. And like everyone's cheering and the white people just like literally part ways as they're like escort him to the car. And then James Jr. goes up to the hillbilly white dude. That pig wasn't worth $25. You owe my dad a money. And I was like, yo, first off, this shit ain't never happening like this. But you know what? I'm here for it. I was like, I am here for it. I was like, is that all it took? Was this one random ass speech from Forrest Whitaker, who we have now proven is not a lawyer? I was like, I'm here for it, baby. If they can teach a black man about soul music and fried chicken, we can walk out of a goddamn jail scot-free. I'm here for it, baby. I'm here for it.
If well, I get you know, to watch FDR was president. I don't know.
Don't do this. Don't do this, Bray. I was having a good time. I was having a good time.
It's interesting because it's like the way we learn about American history is so, it's like in these blocks and it's like, and like we kind of learn about American history, like black people weren't safe until like 1965 or whatever, and like or 1968, and like and then like even that isn't true, but like even before that, it's not exactly true either, like because like there were laws, like there was like even though all these lynchings happened, like it wasn't like free rein on killing black people like all the time, and like there was some semblance of structure that could be broken, right. That, you know what I mean? Like,
if it's a Tuesday at 3:47, then you can kill a black person. You can,
yeah, it's like, Braylock's right. It wasn't free reign. It's like when niggas was sleeping, had a siesta, you know?
Yeah.
That's like when they had to get away with it.
You know, at night when you're wearing a hood, you can do it. Nobody's gonna follow up on that, which, you know?
Okay. I mean, that's, they consider the hate group now, you know, right?
What are you talking about?
The people with the with the hoods. You remember how they put the Black Panthers as listed as a hate group. So you know they never killed nobody unless they were attacked. So the people who did kill people, that's been documented, like they got to be a hate group in 2021. Because I remember last summer everybody was marching for black folk and they were like,
a hate group according to who? Who are you? What's your standard? Because that's, remember what they talked about? Whose morality?
Okay. I'm talking about in the place we live. In America, because you know, America found out about racism in 2020. So because of that racism they discovered in 2020, you know, they of course made the biggest known hate group, an official hate group, right? I mean, that's real, right? They did that.
I really liked the final debate and like how they did that. It was I thought it was really well done because, like, I don't know. There was something about, like, the there was something about specifically the white dude being like, my dad was a cop.
Oh, my God.
And his part.
I know. I know. That was such a writer thing, but I did like it. I loved it.
It was so, I was like, well, this isn't the speech, but still.
But still.
Because you want to be like, yeah, I don't want that cop to be shot down dead on the like nobody like it's not like I'm out here hoping cops getting gunned down. It's like, yeah, it's no. Like that speech, and it's like, how do you come back from that speech? But he was able to get him with he said the rule of law, and it was like, oh shit.
And he was, and he sat down so smug and confident, like, I got him. If you just saw the look on his face. And I'm like, and to be truly honest, James, you're right, man. Like, nobody wants, I think the history of the world is like, black people don't want beef with cops. Like, I think that's
yeah,
no one wants that. Like, no one wants not to trust. We all want to work together. And it's like, to hear him say, my daddy was killed in the line, I think he even says in the line of duty.
His dad's partner. Was killed in the line of duty,
right?
Yeah, it's in the line of duty, and he was there. I guess he was there. I don't know, but he remembered the look on his dad's face. It's just like, oh man,
because there's something about that. It's like he was killed in the line of duty, and I'm looking at him being so like smiling, so smug, and I'm like, don't you realize black people would get killed for like doing nothing? Like, literally.
He messed up by saying, I mean, it was, again, very well written, but he messed up by saying the rule of law thing. It was just so, it was such a, like, this is a compelling story.
It was but so easy to smack that argument down.
Yeah. It was so good.
The rule of
law. But you forgot who he was talking to.
America was literally started by breaking the quote unquote rule of law.
Exactly. There were so many points you could.
Yeah.
Wait, this kid who's at the end of it, not him, but the other one, Glenn Powell, was in The Great Debaters.
Yes. I was shocked that he was in this because I know him as playing teenagers now. You know, like he played a teenager like a couple years ago.
It was literally 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's also the nice white astronaut to Taraji in Hidden Figures. The one who, like, thank you for getting this back down, ma'am. Like, the one who, like,
he's John Glenn or something.
He's just got that face.
Yeah, and then he's not in John Top
Glenn.
Gun.
Is
he's
that too late? Gun. Is it too late? Yeah, he is John Glenn. Yeah,
he's in Scream Queens. Look at all these. Look up, man. This dude has made a.
He's been working.
He's working. Good. He's really. He's really parts, funny. But,
Yeah, he's like really the handsome, funny dude and stuff. He's young. He's only 32. Damn, you know I'm old. I said he's young. Good Lord.
Listen, 32 is young, and I don't give a fuck what anybody listen to this.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Bray. What nobody talking about you? Okay, what nobody talking about? What nobody talking about you?
I'm 32.
It's what nobody talking about you?
All right, you said 32 is young, and I said thank you.
You ain't nobody was talking to you, Bray.
We wasn't talking to you. We talking about Glenn Powell.
No, you talk about me. You said 32.
No, we ain't talking about you. We ain't talking about you, Bray. Okay, let the old man on the call live our life. I'm over here. Yeah, let my voice get all raspy. I just want to say before we end, it needs to be more movies where black men cry. The one thing I enjoyed about this movie is that...
You like Nate Parker crying?
Nate Parker cried. Denzel cried. Forrest Whitaker cried. Denzel Whitaker cried. And the thing about that is... It's because even though these men all were tough as hell, like they were still vulnerable, which we don't often get to see. And like anytime I see a black man cry, I was like, yes, we do have emotions. We do go through levels. We get happy. We get sad. We're not always angry. We're not always trying to fight the power. It's like there is a level. And to see these black dudes like break, but then still find courage to keep it going. And then seeing Journey there, I was like, love, 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 love. Yeah. Give me
Denzel Whitaker's character wasn't tough, but yeah.
Don't do this, Bray. I said, like, not all, you know, different levels. He found his courage later on.
I'm just kidding.
His voice shook.
He obviously was tough. He was a little 14-year-old walking up into a college debating Harvard grad.
Yeah, that's a tough kid.
Was on the train by himself, you know?
Here's the thing. I really like this movie, but I just feel like one thing could have made it better. I feel like one thing could have made it better. What? So first, I just want to give props to Denzel for how this was orchestrated, because when we see the kids running by the car, right? Then we see the car going, and then the car hits something. We're like, oh, damn, he hit a kid.
Yeah, this is true. I was like, they're all about to die. Yeah,
everybody's dead. Everybody's dead. This is a short movie, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, then the white dudes come out and they all like being all mean and racist. And I feel like this is what I would love for this to happen. Just as Forrest Whitaker is about to hand him his check, a basketball just hits my man right in the face. He falls down. Cut to Steel is standing behind the car, and he's like, "You're gonna get that check back. You're gonna get the check back. Give me back the check." and then he takes the check. Right.
I'm sorry.
Then we get to the end of the movie. Right. And then just as Glenn Powell is in the middle of giving his speech, just right, pop, right in those glasses. The basketball come out, hit him right in the head. Steele's like, resolved. You know what I'm saying? He's like,
come on now.
Yeah, I just feel like if Steele was in this movie, what'd Steele say? He says, resolved.
Come on now.
Steele is there. You know what I'm saying?
First of all, how does Steel get back into that? You know what? Why am I engaging with this?
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts.
the sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Oh my God.
If this film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right. On the count of three, I'm going to raise up our range for this film, The Great Debaters. One, two, three. Three black fists.
Black fists?
I mean, come on now.
Black fists?
Absolutely.
Well, you got these three young black
I loved it. The only thing I didn't like is that I think we needed a little more Elise Neal and a little bit more Cousin Faith.
Kimberly Elise, you mean?
Oh, what did I say? Elise Neal?
You said Elise Neal. But also, honestly, I could have used some of Elise Neal in this too. I mean, I'm saying we got all of the Elises can be
in this. Kimberly Elise and Cousin Faith. We could have used a little more from them. But other than that, I love this movie. Love, love, love.
Yeah, I mean, I also love this movie. I could have used more Elise Neal in this. Yeah, Black Fist. Was the writer white? Or black?
Oh, I'm gonna look that right now. I'm gonna look it right now.
That's a great question. I didn't even look because the Denzel directed. I just assumed.
So let me see.
Robert Isley. Jeffrey Poro, these sound like white names.
Robert Isley's a white man.
Yeah.
He did a good job with the script.
Jeffrey Poro, he's white too.
He white too?
Tony Sherman.
Oh, he white too.
Okay. Yeah, it was white writers.
Okay, white writers, Denzel, black directors.
Denzel directed it. You know, directors have a hand on the script.
Yeah, sure.
They got a little hand in it. that makes sense.
No, I just was wondering. I want not to make a thing out of it. I just wasn't sure because then we would have talked about it and then we could maybe see what else these black writers are doing. But it was white writers, and also we see what else these white writers are doing. Dark Man, they did Dark Man.
Don't do this.
Okay, all right, I ain't gonna talk. Are we good?
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, thank you so much for listening. Is there anything else anything else you want to say about The Great Debaters? I feel like we covered everything.
I think we did it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackManPodcast.com is our website, where you'll find links to merchandise that we have through TeePublic, like t-shirts and stickers and phone cases. We also have a defunct Patreon. That means we're not doing new episodes. Somebody just messaged and said, how come there's no new episodes? And we've been saying this for a full year now. but there's no new episodes, but there's a year's worth of episodes on there. So you can subscribe, listen, and then unsubscribe. It's $5 a month until you stop paying for it. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes, we will read your reviews on the air. And guys, rate and review us so I can read more reviews, please.
So Ray can do his job.
Come on. You know I like reading these reviews. But there are no new ones. So that's that. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!